All right, time for Fan Mail Friday, where we're going to answer your questions and drop some knowledge and give feedback to help you kick the weekend off right. If you're new to the Art of Charm podcast, this isn't a great place to start. Most of our content is more in-depth than longer format, so check out the best of at theartofcharm.com/best or the fundamentals toolbox at theartofcharm.com/toolbox. We'll send all of this to your inbox if you text CHARMED, that's CHARMED, to 33444. That's where we've got the fundamentals of body language and nonverbal communication, attraction, negotiation, networking, and everything else we teach here at The Art of Charm. First of all, I gotta say, we got thousands of replies to my last few emails, and I'm going to call in some reinforcements in terms of getting back to people on time, because I'm like a month behind on email, given how much I have sitting in there. So I still read everything. Don't worry. I'm just going to be siphoning some stuff to other folks, and it's not going to be somebody in the friggin' Philippines or Vietnam. Native English speakers, members of the AOC team working at HQ. So if you don't hear from me for a while, and or you hear from Patrick, Rob, or somebody else, Jen, they're just helping me out. It's not outsourced to random robots. I just want to let everybody know that. All right, let's cut to it.
Dear Jordan, I was talking to a woman via text for a while. We had a couple of dates scheduled, and she flaked on me, so I pretty much gave up. After about a month or so, she hit me up again. She seems more serious about getting together this time, but I'm kind of on a once-bitten-twice-shy tip with her right now. What do you recommend? Signed, Gunshy.
Hey, Gunshy. AOC teaches people that their time is the most valuable commodity. So this means you need to be selective about who you choose to spend it with. And from the sound of it, this person is not a good use of your time. She's probably going to flake on you again. But more to the point, why do you want to spend time with somebody who's already flaked on you and or made you second choice in the past? Put simply, your time is better used going to find a new person who won't flake on you than it is trying to get this flake to stop flaking, if that makes sense. So unless you feel there's some undeniable, inseparable, insanely powerful connection at work here, and specifically one that's not just in your head or your pants, I'd say you should just call it quits. And frankly, there isn't much here. You gotta move on. Never treat somebody as a priority when they're treating you as an option. In this case, she is treating you as an option, as a last choice. You are treating her as a priority. That will be your undoing.
Hey, Jordan. On the recent show with Dr. Rhonda Patrick, you made a clearly jokey comment about sunscreen being bad for you, but I was surprised to hear Dr. Patrick enthusiastically agree. There's a difficult trade-off between getting enough vitamin D while also not putting yourself at unnecessary risk for skin cancer. The UK's official health guideline agency spoke out about this just a few days ago using almost those exact words. For a health expert to ignore or underplay the risks of skin cancer seems irresponsible.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I'm open to the science on this. For me, it seems like supplementing with vitamin D is probably better for you than not wearing sunblock. First of all, vitamin D, you can get it with your fish oil, you can get it separately. Yeah, it may not be as good as the sun, but I don't know of that many people that have just clinically been proven to die from lack of vitamin D. Tons of people get skin cancer and die or have serious, serious health complications. So if it comes down to it, I would say if you had to choose one over the other, definitely choose the vitamin D deficiency, which of course, like I said, you can supplement with supplements. So I'm a little bit skeptical, and I would like to check back with Dr. Rhonda Patrick and see if that's really what she meant or if she was joking and the delivery was just off. But I think you're right, man. I think it's a good point to be made, and it does seem a little irresponsible if indeed that's what she meant. But I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and I think we were both kind of just kidding on that one. So yes, always wear sunscreen.
Hello, Jordan. I've reached out before, and I have continued to listen to the podcast and read your blogs. I have a couple of questions I would like to ask you. First off, I'm struggling with my morning ritual. Do you have any tips for getting out of bed? Normally, I would have my alarm away from my bed so it forces me to get out of bed to turn it off, but I'm in college, which means having a roommate. I feel like it's unfair to him to have my alarm going off for a couple of minutes before I get it turned off. Therefore, I set my alarm, hit snooze a couple times, finally get out of bed, and then stumble to my part-time job around 7. The days where I do wake up, I'm brain dead and not productive. How can I snap out of this unproductive state and start being productive right away? Second, I noticed I waste a lot of time in transition. For example, I get to the library, and for the first 5 minutes, I spend it browsing social media and the internet. What advice do you have for jumping from one thing to another? Thirdly, so far, I have taken actions to figure out who I am. Therapy, doing exercises in the pursuit of greatness, for example. The biggest challenge I have is talking to other people about my personal growth problems. Asking questions about me like, how would people describe me, and ask someone what your top strengths and weaknesses are scare the crap out of me. Any tips on how to accomplish this? I'm a person who sucks at building great friendships, but just has friends. Fourthly, this is more of a request, but have you considered bringing a guest on the show who would talk about how to break habits? I'm 21 and constantly bite my nails and pick my acne. I even do this in class and it's embarrassing. I hope this isn't too much. I didn't know who else to ask. Warmest, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin. Look, man, even I do some of this stuff when I'm feeling anxious, have anxiety going through the roof. It gets worse when I have a lot to do and I can't focus. It's possible you've got quote-unquote adult ADHD, whether or not that's even a thing, is the jury's still out. So here's what I'm going to say. Meditation. It helped me get through high school. It helped me get through law school. It helped me get through the day even now. And exercise. I know it sounds cliche, but that's going to burn off some of that nervous energy as well. So between meditation and exercise, you'll be a new man. I've been there. Like I said, this is a voice of experience. Start there. And then if that doesn't help, you can try supplements, but stay away from medication. By supplements, I mean things like you can try. We use Lifted View sometimes from the show. That stuff helps, you know, but stay away from medication. Medication, Adderall, this stuff is bad for you. It's habit forming. And it's really hard on your system, and your heart especially. If you do go on it because nothing else works, you got to take the lowest dose the doctor will allow and then get off of it on weekends, get off of it on school breaks once you're out of school. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about antidepressants. I'm not talking about those types of medications. Those you got to follow religiously what the doctor says. But with things like Adderall, it'll say, oh, take two pills twice a day. You don't have to do this. Use it like a weapon. And again, this is not medical advice. I am not a doctor. Go to your doctor. But chances are your doctor's not going to want to prescribe this stuff for you anyway because it is terrible for you. Now, once you're on breaks, you're out of school, you're going to realize you don't really need this to do a lot of other things. The problem when you're on meds 24/7 is you don't actually solve the problem that the medication is masking. And it's kind of like what they say about females when they take birth control and mate selection and things like that. You're going to end up picking, if you're young especially, you're going to pick different jobs. You're going to pick things you don't like. You're going to pick different things that you don't really get to focus on without medication when you're on this stuff. Like if you're coding all day in a cubicle and you're like, wow, I can just plow through this. This is amazing. Once you don't have unlimited focus, medically induced focus, you might not like that. It might not be suitable for you. And this is the kind of decision you're going to have to make if you're a student or even if you're looking at a career transition. So be careful. You don't want to alter your brain, which alters your preferences because you're having trouble with X, Y, and Z. This could alter the course of your life. You got to be careful and you got to make decisions soberly. And that doesn't mean just without alcohol.
Hey, Jordan, summer is approaching and my family has a huge cookout every year. This has me thinking, when is the right time for me to bring my girlfriend with me to a family function? You obviously can't be bringing every woman that you date home to meet mom and dad, so when is the right time for that to happen? Signed, Getting Serious?
Hey, Serious, here's the thing. You've already kind of hit upon the best way to introduce your family to your girl. At a large function like that is really perfect. It takes some of the pressure off the interaction because it's not like you're sitting mom and dad down for a formal introduction. Instead, she can casually get to know everyone in your family, even your weird uncles, as long as you keep an eye on things. And as far as how long you have to be together or whatever, that varies from one person to another. Basically, and I know this is worthless as far as advice is concerned, it's up to you to decide. But I will say this. You should probably trust yourself more than you seem to right now, and when the time is right, you're definitely going to know. And here's the one caveat I will say. Look at the reason you're doing this. And this goes for pretty much any behavior, action, big step. What's the reason? Are you introducing her to your family because your family wants you to get married and she wants you to take the relationship to the next level? And is there external pressure? Do you think it's going to achieve some result? If so, don't do it. It's too soon. You probably don't need to do it. It's probably not really your choice at this point. You're succumbing to pressure. If you're doing it because you talk about her all the time, your parents want to know who she is, they've been encouraging you to bring her over, she, you know, doesn't necessarily care either way, or she's curious about your family, then yeah, it's a good time to do it. It's a good choice. The thing is, you just got to be careful not to be like, okay, if I introduce her to my family, my mom will get off my back and she'll like me even more because she'll see things are going further. That's not a good reason to do it. So make sure your rationale behind it is good. And otherwise, yeah, who cares if it's too early or took too long? It's really not a big deal. The consequences of this are pretty minimal.
Do you guys have any tips for when I'm telling others that I'm going to an AOC boot camp? It's a little embarrassing, in my opinion, to need coaching for social skills. Nobody knows I was thinking about this boot camp or even listening to the podcast. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, Brian. I get that. I get it. All right. I understand it. It can be a little bit of a tricky situation, but As for telling others when you're signing up for Art of Charm or that you're signing up for Art of Charm, the fact that you don't want people to know you're working on yourself, it really is only an ego issue. You're just worried about what other people think about you, which is totally normal to a degree. However, now you're venturing into the territory of trying to manage and control what other people think about you. It's not only a waste of your time, but it's largely impossible. My advice to you is to start thinking about why you're so concerned about what other people think of you in the first place. And here's the deal. When we get special forces guys and stuff like that that come through, and we get high-end sales guys that come through, and we get military, when we get professionals, when we get married guys through here, really confident guys already that come through here, more mature guys, they never think about this. They don't care. They tell their wife, they tell their friends. People realize that successful people get training to make it to the next level. I get it, though. This is a young guy. Brian's a younger dude. The fact is, your friends are probably making fun of you, or that you think they're going to make fun of you. That's not a winning mindset. Everybody's insecure. You're exhibiting the exact same thing. So you're afraid of what insecure people are going to think about your move to becoming more secure, your path. That's really, really ridiculous. It's kind of like asking a bunch of broke people how you should run your business. It's a really terrible idea to ask them for advice. And it's a really terrible idea to ask for their opinion. They don't know what they're talking about. They're in a worse or similar situation as you, and they have no valid input on this. So frankly, it's none of their business. But I would say look at why you're so concerned about what other people think of you in the first place. And by the time you dig down to that little gem, none of this other stuff like you mentioned above is going to matter.
Johnny, we know if you listen to the show, you are driven. In fact, we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast.
Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey.
We have hired a lot of team members over the last 17 years. Going through endless resumes, well, that's a time sink. But you know what else is a time sink? Interviewing endless people, because they're all going to give you the best face forward.
That's why we love Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets.
Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/charm. Just go to Indeed.com/charm right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/charm. Terms and conditions apply.
Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, Jordan, I recently met a girl that I've been spending lots of time with. We've gotten along great, cuddled a bit, and gotten past the quote-unquote I like you stage. But today we had a chat that revealed that that means different things to each of us. We want different things out of our relationship. Since that means that I won't be getting what I'm looking for, I quickly felt standoffish. I don't want to invest myself in a relationship with someone on a different trajectory. Is that selfish of me in a bad way? Will it be detrimental to get into the habit of rejecting friendships that don't give me what I want out of them? Looking for your thoughts. Sincerely, Pete.
Hey, Pete, look, I get it. The short answer is yes. You should get in the habit of rejecting friendships that don't give you what you want out of them. But the caveat here is you need to look for the value more closely. I've got a lot of friends where the value isn't readily apparent. I'm not saying, oh, this person's not a software engineer in Silicon Valley. Yeah, you need to ditch them. They're not going to help you in your path. That's not how it goes. You need to be looking at real friendship. Would this person pick you up from the airport? Are they there when you're feeling down? Do they hang out with you and not judge you? Are you relaxed around them? Do you like how you feel around them? That's value. It's not, don't be looking for career value. Don't be looking for specific things that people can do for you. Look for quality people and look to the quality of people. If you find that these people are low quality, then yeah, you don't need to be friends with them. But if you find that they're just not going to be able to help you get another promotion later this year, that's not a good reason to get rid of somebody from your network. So don't reject because you're not getting what you want. Reject if you're not getting what you need, which is very different and also not as obvious. And of course, last but not least, if a relationship is dragging on you, if the person is too much of a taker, then definitely cut ties. But listen carefully. If you are a taker and you're only looking for what you can get from relationships, now you're that guy that deserves to be cut out of other people's lives. So be really careful when, where, and how you apply this.
Listening to this podcast episode, I couldn't help but think about something I've been noticing in a variety of places. Here's what it is. I've noticed that guys who are in long-term relationships, long-term girlfriends, fiancés, wives, etc., seem to give advice that seems to carry a certain pro-female bias. It's almost like when answering questions, these guys judge men more harshly than they judge women. In many cases, women are given the assumption of innocence, whereas they find ways that men are in the wrong. It's something that I only notice with guys in long-term relationships, and it seems like men change, i.e., when they were single, they tended to have self-serving opinions, but then those same men, after a few years in a long-term relationship, give advice that's serving the interests of women. It's almost as if they're working on behalf of the interests of their girlfriends and wives in some weird, subversive, and subservient way. Sometimes it's hard for me to listen to advice from guys with long-term relationships because the advice seems too heavily slanted towards supporting women's interests. Regarding the guy who snooped on his girlfriend and found out she cheated, I couldn't help but think of this meme. And for the radio audience at home, it is a beautiful blonde woman. The text in the image says, "He caught me cheating. It's his fault for spying on me." It seemed weird to me that you suggested that the guy should go to therapy for looking at his girlfriend's email. Yeah, it's not something he should do, but telling him he should see a therapist sounded like trumped up charges, as if you were trying to vilify him. Thanks, Brett.
Hey man, I understand what you're saying and thank you for taking the time. However, I think you're missing the point, or perhaps you just didn't listen properly, but he snooped through her email and he had found that she cheated in a past relationship, not the current relationship. I was very specific in my answer that I didn't address her actions at all in my answer. It's also very clear to me that the issues leading to him snooping in her email had nothing to do with her and everything to do with him. The reason I did this is because the relationship is already dead once there's no trust, and that's the issue here. People don't spy on their significant other when there's a healthy amount of trust. Remember, she's been faithful to him in the current relationship, and he snooped on her email because he was insecure, not because he had a feeling she was up to something. Now, you can discard and discredit all the advice from guys in relationships all you like. That's your loss. In the end, the reason you see the difference in the advice is because being in a long-term relationship is a sign of maturity. Thus, when men mature, they no longer think only of themselves and instead think of their partnership and their significant other. You'll see the same thing with gay men, you'll see the same thing with gay women in healthy relationships as well. Now, perhaps you're just not there yet, which is okay. That's the whole point, though. You have to be mature and less selfish before you can make a long-term relationship work. And that relationship will seem to many outsiders to be more quote-unquote pro-female, simply because it's less selfish and one-sided from a male perspective. I hope that helps, and good luck. I hope you all enjoyed that. Don't forget, you can email us at friday@theartofcharm.com. And we've got something new. Our friends at Burner App have set us up with a call-in line now. So if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or text, you can do so either to 415-429-1915. That's 415-429-1915. And if you need to stay on the down low, or you just don't want someone to have your actual phone number for any reason, be sure to check out Burner at burnerapp.com. It's a cool little app. It lets you make new phone numbers on the fly right from your smartphone and essentially quote-unquote burn them when you're done, just like if you've seen The Wire, the drug dealer flip phones where they just throw them in the dumpster after they're done. It's like that, but it's an app, so you don't have to throw your iPhone in a friggin' dumpster. Also, of course, we have the Art of Charm Challenge at theartofcharm.com/challenge, or text CHARMED, that's CHARMED, to 33444, we're going to take you step by step to becoming better at making personal and professional connections, becoming a better networker, increasing your personal social capital and your charisma. It's for both guys and gals, so check that out at theartofcharm.com/challenge or text CHARMED to 33444. Quick shout out to Jake Oman, who's wrestling in Japan, and Sean in Perth, who just found the show after meeting me riding some quads through the jungle in Thailand. Of course, everybody that I met, show fan and otherwise, here at Heroic Public Speaking, Michael and Amy Port's event down here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where I am right now. You know, it's funny, personalizing the people that listen to the show makes me want to do it even more, makes me want to do it even better, and also makes me want to watch my language a little bit. It's really easy to slip up and be a little bit tacky when I'm, you know, sitting here alone in my underwear or whatever, but when I can personalize it and I see a bunch of really nice folks listening on the other end, it changes the game for me. But it won't change me too much. I'm too stubborn. Are you in a strange land listening to my familiar voice? If so, hit me up and I'll shout you out. More from AOC at theartofcharm.com. Now have a great weekend. Get out there and connect and leave everyone better than you found them.
Thanks for listening to The Art of Charm. Get more confidence, relationship skills, life hacks, and more at theartofcharmpodcast.com.